Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Gurave Gaurachandraya Radhikaya Twadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadabhaktaya Namo Namah. Together. Yam Pravrajanta Manupeta Mapeta Krityam Dvaipayano Viraka Taruajuhava Putreti Tanmayataya Taruobanidos Tansarabhuta Hridayam Munimanatosmi Bhaktya Vinaya Para Chaktasya kamadi tarangamadye kripamayitvam sharanam prapadyam brinde namaste charanaravindam tavaivasmi tavaivasmi najivamitam vina Iti vigyaya rade tam nayamam charanantike. First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Diksha Gurudev, Nijalila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pai, Astotra Satshi Shimai, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Shiksha Gurudev, Nijalila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pai, Astotra Satshi Shimai, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our Guru Varga, our disciplic succession of self-realized gurus, and to all the assembled devotees. So this is our last class for a while, because as we mentioned last night, starting tomorrow evening, myself and many other Western devotees are going to the Chaitanya Kodiyamat about 10 minutes from here to hear from the lotus lips of Srila Bhakti Vidyan Bharati Goswami Maharaj. And everyone is invited. So tonight, the class is going to be divided into three parts, because today is a very auspicious day. It is the disappearance day of Sri Ramchandra Kaviraj, an associate of the personal associate of associates of the Lord, and it's also the appearance day of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is a personal servant of the Lord and one of the six very famous Goswamis who established Mahaprabhu's mission in this world. And the third subject is a finishing off of our subject of Nam Tattva, which we'll begin with. We discussed many meditations of songs, prayers, verses, and pastimes that Srila Gurudev recommended for perfecting our Nam Bhajan. Also, we discussed many verses and words from Srila Gurudev and Prabhupada describing the glories, power, and results of chanting Nam. We also discussed the history of Srila Haridas Thakur in relation to Nam, and briefly discussed the three conditions for which pure Shuddhanam can be chanted, and that is Trinadapi Sunichena Tadarapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So for Kirtaniya Sadahari, being able to constantly chant the holy name of the Lord, and in such a way that it will be most effective for giving Krishna Prem, halting the cycle of birth and death, giving all mystic powers. Mystic powers are, one can become smaller than an atom, heavier than a planet, he can bring anyone else under his control, he can reach out to another planet and get a fruit, just like that. So many mystic powers, they are insignificant byproducts of the powers one achieves in chanting the pure name. He becomes such a sankalpa, that is, anything he says will happen, will happen. He knows past, present, and future. And most importantly, he can control Krishna. Not only Srimati Radhika and Mother Yasoda control Krishna, but also anyone who becomes a pure devotee in the line of Rupa Goswami and chanting the holy name in that line with those prayers and with that aim and objective, he also has the power to control Krishna. This verse in Gita Govinda, Smaragaralakarindanam Mama Shirushimandanam Dehi Parapalavam Udaram, where Krishna is surrendering at the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. Srila Gurudev explained in one lecture in Hawaii that Krishna also surrenders at the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika's maidservants and begs favors from them. So that's the goal. And the process in Trinadapi Sunichena, Srila Gurudev gives many, many examples of these three features. Being more humble than a blade of grass that's been trampled on by the feet of others. Being more tolerant than a tree. Offering all respects to others and not desiring any respect for myself. So he tells so many wonderful examples. One very good example of such a personality is the Lord himself. And there's a history that Srila Gurudev relates about the great sages had a meeting to discover who is the absolute truth. Is it Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva? So Bhrigu Muni was selected to find out and then report back to the others. So Lord Brahma is his father, actually, and Lord Shiva is his brother, because Lord Shiva also manifested from the forehead of Lord Brahma, the first created being and secondary creator of this universe. So Bhrigu Muni went to Lord Shiva, he went to Brahma first, his father, but he didn't offer obeisances. So actually he committed an offense with his mind. And Brahma became angry, but then controlled himself. So he knew that, oh, he became angry by not receiving my respects. So he's not the absolute truth. Then he went to Lord Shiva and committed an offense with his words, calling Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva came to embrace him, he refused to embrace him, and he said some very scathing words to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was about to kill him, but his consort, Maya, or Parvati, who is the embodiment of the three modes of nature, brought out his mode of goodness to become tolerant. Then he went to Lord Vishnu to commit a corporal offense, that is an offense with his body. Lord Vishnu was lying on the serpent bed, Ananta, and his consort, Lakshmi Devi, was massaging his feet. So Bhrigu Muni walked up to the Lord and kicked him in the chest. And instead of getting angry, Lord Vishnu immediately stood up and he said, "Oh, please forgive me. I didn't see you coming in, and therefore I didn't offer my obeisances to you. You are a Brahmana, and therefore you are worthy of all my respect. And also please forgive me that my chest is so hard that it must have hurt your soft lotus feet when you touched it. So please forgive me for that as well." So immediately Bhrigu Muni developed ecstatic symptoms, hair standing on end, trembling, weeping, and jumping up in the air and dancing. And so he realized that Lord Vishnu was the absolute truth and reported that back to the sages. So that is an example of being like a tree and being like the grass and offering all respects to others and not desiring any one for oneself. Also, Parikshit Maharaj, by the will of Krishna, became very thirsty one day while he was hunting. He wasn't actually hunting. Pure devotees don't actually hunt animals. But just to make a show, because he was a kshatriya, he was in the role of shooting arrows. So in his thirst, he came to the hermitage of the sage Shamika Rishi and asked for some water. This wasn't his own doing. He was controlled by the Lord because the Lord had a special mission. So he asked for some water, but the sage Shamika Rishi was in trance and didn't hear him. So by the will of Krishna, again, Maharaj Parikshit became angry and with his bow, he picked up a dead snake and garlanded the sage with that snake. And a short while later, Shamika Rishi's son found out about that. And even though he was the son of a Brahmana, Shamika Rishi, he didn't have any of the qualities of a Brahmana. He just became furious and he said, "These kshatriyas are just like dogs at the homes of us Brahmanas. But this dog doesn't even know how to behave himself. He offended my father." So he said some mantras, took some water, some achman, and cursed that Maharaj Parikshit would die within 7 days by a snake. "You put a snake around my father? Okay, you'll die from the bite of a snake bird then in 7 days. So Shamika Rishi felt terrible about this when he heard about it. So he sent a message with his servant to tell Parikshit Maharaj what happened. So when Parikshit Maharaj heard, he became very happy. And because when he was on his way home from the sage's house, he was thinking, "Oh my God, what have I done? I've committed such a grave offense." And then he was praying to the Lord, "Let the result of this offense come only upon me, not upon my whole dynasty, to destroy my dynasty. Let something come to purify me from this offense." So when he heard that he was cursed to die within 7 days, he became very happy. In our Prabhupada's words, Prabhupada said, he heard that, "Oh, I offended the sage, and now I'm cursed to die. Very good." Prabhupada commented, "Just see how liberal he was." And then he immediately took the opportunity to become free from all attachment to his household. The household means his whole kingdom, which was practically like the kingdom of the earth. And he left his home, left all of his clothes there, his ornaments, his weapons, and just wearing a loincloth, he went to sit at the bank of the Ganges to inquire from the sages there, what is the duty of a person who knows that he's going to die very soon? And what is the duty of a person who doesn't know when he's going to die? So once Prabhupada was giving a lecture, I was there in Boston in 1969, and Prabhupada said he was lucky. He knew that he had 7 days to live. You don't know if you have 7 seconds left to live. So he also didn't become angry when he was, what to speak of, disrespected. He was cursed to die. Similarly, I think I gave this example a few days ago. Another example of humility is King Prithu, who, although he was Shaktivesh avatar and had all the opulences of the earth and all the power, more power than anyone on the earth, and more opulence and more good qualities, he was very, very humble. And the analogy is given that when a tree doesn't have any fruits and flowers, it has nothing to make his branches heavy and make his branches go down. So his branches are straight up. So a person who has no qualities but is still proud, he's like, look at me, here I am. Whereas a person who's full of good qualities and at the same time no pride, he actually has all good qualities, he's bent down low from the heaviness of his good qualities. Maharaj Ambarish is another example. He had to follow Ekadasi, so he took the risk of offending the Brahmana, Durvasa Rishi, who came to visit him without telling in advance that he was coming to visit the king, and then said, I'm going to take bath now, so I'll expect prasadam when I come back. So Maharaj Ambarish was seeing the clock that now it was Dvadasi and it's the time to take patan, to break the Ekadasi fast. If I take the Ekadasi patan, then the Brahman may feel offended, and then I may go to hell. But it doesn't matter if I'm in hell, as long as I have bhakti. But if I don't take the patan, if I don't break my fast at this particular time, then I'll offend Ekadasi, which is Bhakti Devi herself, which is non-different from expansion of Srimati Radhika herself. And therefore, even if I'm in heaven, I might as well be in hell without any bhakti. So he took Charanamrita, the Lord's bathing water, because drinking water is considered fasting and not fasting. But then the sage was so puffed up with false pride, Durvasa Rishi, that when he understood by his trance that the king had so-called eaten something before the sage came back to eat first, because I'm a Brahmin and he's only a Grihastha and he's only a Kshatriya, and first you feed the Brahmins when they come to your house and then you eat. But he has no etiquette at all. So he took a dreadlock of his hair and threw it on the floor, and it became a giant female demoness made of fire. And that fire demoness went to attack Maharaj Ambarish, who was just thinking of Krishna and thinking, if Krishna wants me to die, I will. If Krishna wants me to live, I will. And he was absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, not fearing at all. And by the will of the Lord, Krishna's chakra chased Durvasa Muni all over the universe until finally he went to the Lord's abode and the Lord ordered him to surrender to Maharaj Ambarish, at which time he did. And then The only reason he was saved from the chakra, the wheel of destruction of the Lord, is because Maharaj Amrish was praying for him. That, oh, Sudarshan Chakra, wheel of destruction, if I have done any bhakti in my life, then please don't burn this brahmana. Cool yourself off and let the brahmana live. So then the brahmana came and surrendered, and Maharaj Amrish said, oh yes, immediately take all the results of my pious activities and immediately be delivered. And by seeing the beautiful Vaishnava behavior of Maharaj Amrish, Durvasa also surrendered to Maharaj Amrish. Not only that, but even though the cause of the disaster was Durvasa Rishi and Amrish Maharaj was totally innocent, for the whole year that the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing Durvasa Rishi to burn into ashes, that whole year Maharaj Amrish was thinking that I'm the cause of this poor Brahmin's suffering. So therefore he fasted all year. Amazing. One of my godbrothers, Sri Padmini Maharaj, asked Gurudev, Gurudev, you're such a beautiful leader. How can one become a good leader? So Gurudev said, be a leader like me, equal to all, broad-minded and liberal. Once, one of my other godbrothers, who was in ISKCON GBC at the time, he asked Srila Gurudev that I'm one of the leaders of a very big institution. So although we hear how dangerous Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Sudarshan Prabhu Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Damodar Jiyu Ki Jai, Shri Sachi Nandan Gaura Hari Ki Jai, Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Even though we hear about the dangers of Vaishnava Aparad, still, as a leader of an institution, sometimes it's our duty to show where somebody is wrong for the benefit of the institution and even for the benefit of that person. So how do we reconcile? So Gurudev replied, there's no harm if you have priti like Mother Yasoda, meaning pure love. Mother Yasoda said to Krishna when he was naughty, oh, may I beat you? You're so naughty, in that sweet way. So if you have love like that, then you can criticize and chastise others. Otherwise, by doing so, you'll find that your heart will become more hard than a stone, and you won't know where to criticize and where not. And it turned out that that person ended up criticizing Gurudev and being killed by the hand of Krishna. Of course, the perfect example is the tree. The tree gives its fruits, roots, bark, flowers, shade, even with somebody who comes with a hatchet to knock it down. I think you may be familiar with the story that Srila Gurudev tells of the king who was sitting under a mango tree. And some boys came wanting to get the mangoes to come down. So they were throwing rocks at the mango tree, trying to get the mangoes themselves. And being that the king was sitting under the tree, one of the rocks hit the king in the eye. And the king, the eye started gushing blood, and the king became blind in that eye. So his minister said to him, O king, please give us the order that we will kill this boy or minimally torture him. That is, at least let us torture him. So the king said, why? I see that the boys are throwing rocks at the mango tree, and the mango tree is returning that act with sweet fruits. So am I less than a tree? No, I'm a king. So I will order you to give this boy a portion of my kingdom. So that is a wonderful example. When Srila Gurudev was in his first year of his Harikatha festival, we were in England with him, and he told the story of two brothers. One brother moved into a temple and the other brother didn't. So the brother who moved into the temple happened to be very fault-finding, and he would always be looking out the window to see across the street there was a brothel, a house of a prostitute. And he would be watching as the friends of the prostitutes were coming and going from the house. And always thinking, oh, that lowly prostitute, oh, those lowly friends. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And his younger brother, he didn't live in the temple, but he was thinking, oh, my older brother is so advanced, he's associating with devotees, he's chanting. So he was thinking good about his brother, and the other brother was thinking bad about the prostitute. So gradually they both became older, and gradually the Yamadutas, the constables of the god of death, came to both of them. And the Yamadutas, who come to bring the soul to hell with all kinds of horrible tortures, like if somebody tries to stop the Sankirtan movement, then he has to go to a hell where he gets, where he has to lie on this table, and he gets sewn length and breadth like a cloth. Or if he's hurt insects, then he has to boil in boiling oil. If he cooked any animals, he has to be cooked and boiled. Another hell is called Kremi Bhojana, where he becomes a worm in a lake of worms, and he eats the other worms, and other worms eat him. If one is so-called Brahmana, but he has illicit sex, then he has to simultaneously be forced to embrace a molten hot opposite sex figure made of molten iron, and at the same time be whipped by the constables of death. And if he is a so-called Brahmana and he drinks liquor, then he has to drink hot liquid molten iron in another one of the hells. Why did I tell that about the hells? So the Yamadutas, that's right, they came. They came to the older brother. And the older brother said, where did you come to take me, to Swarga? He said, no, we've come to take you to hell. Well, I think you have the wrong address. Go next door to the prostitute's house. So the Yamaduta said, no, we have the right address, because you created a bridge to her qualities by your consciousness. So now you have to get the results, because all those qualities are in you. And the younger brother, the Vishnudutas, came to him and brought him to Vaikuntha. So I asked Gurudev, if the older brother went to hell, and the younger brother was thinking of the older brother, why didn't he also go to hell by association? So Gurudev said he was only thinking of his older brother shortly, to think of his older brother's good fortune, that, oh, he's chanting Nam, he has Sadhu Sangha. Then he thought, well, I should get Sadhu Sangha too. So although he wasn't living in the temple, he took full advantage of Sadhu Sangha. Very quickly, of course, you know the example of the scorpion and the sage, right? Yes? Okay. So I'm going to end here with the four conditions for being able to chant Shuddhanam, and we'll go on to the next part of the program, which is a short glorification of Sri Ramchandra Kaviraj, whose disappearance day is today. Ramchandra Kaviraj, he's so great that his association is desired by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. There's that very beautiful song by Narottam Das Thakur, where first he's praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that, oh, you are Patita Pavan, and but you can know that there's no more petite than I am, no person more fallen than me, so my claim to deliverance is first. Then he realized, well, I can't really pray to Mahaprabhu without first praying to Nityananda Prabhu. Then I can get Mahaprabhu's mercy. So then he prayed to Nityananda Prabhu that you're the embodiment of transcendental happiness. So please give me a place at your lotus feet that I can also be happy. Then he realized, well, at first I have to pray to Advaita Acharya. He said, by your mercy, you called Mahaprabhu to come, so by your mercy, I can get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Finally, he comes down to the six Goswamis, Lokanath Goswami, and then he comes to Srinivas Acharya, and then the disciple of Srinivas Acharya, that is Sri Ramchandra Kaviraj. May I always have the association of Ramchandra Kaviraj. So at first, Ramchandra Kaviraj was not a devotee. He was a bridegroom. And the palanquin was taking he and his newly wedded, beautiful young wife to their new home. And on the way, they stopped at an ashram. And it so happened that Srinivas Acharya, who wrote the Sad Goswami Astakam, which I hope we can sing after the class, because that glorifies Gopal Bhatta Goswami and the other Goswamis. Srinivas Acharya happened to be sitting in the ashram. So when the palanquin drivers were thinking, we need some water, we're thirsty. So perhaps there's water at this ashram. So they put the palanquin down and went to get some water. And when Srinivas Acharya saw Ramchandra Kaviraj, before he was named that, he said almost to himself, this foolish man doesn't know that he has a poisonous snake around his neck, which is going to bite him and he's going to die. So Ramchandra Kaviraj, whatever his name was before, he approached Srinivas Acharya and said, what? I couldn't quite capture what you said. Could you repeat that? He said, a man who marries doesn't know that his wife is like a poisonous black snake, and one day she will bite him and he will die. So he said, oh, you have opened up my eyes. And he immediately ordered the palanquin drivers to, don't worry, those of you who are married. Our Prabhupada said the wife can either be the personification of Maya, or if she inspires him in his bhakti, then she's the goddess of fortune. It so happened that he had a materialistic wife. So he immediately ordered the palanquin drivers to take her back to her home. So they took the weeping wife back to her home. And Ramchandra Kaviraj approached Srinivas Acharya and said, you have given me life. From today I am yours. I always want to live with you. So such a great personality he became, that even Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who's one of our greatest acharyas, writers of these songs that give us bhakti and relieve us from the cycle of birth and death and illusion, he prays for the association of Ramchandra Kaviraj. So Ramchandra Kaviraj had a younger brother named Durgada, who, as the name indicates, was a worshipper of Durga. So one day, he became very, very sick, and whatever he did, whatever medicines he took, whatever worship he did of Durga, nothing would happen to make him better. All his friends came, his relatives came, gave him so many kinds of medicines. Nothing helped. And now he was on the verge of death. So then he was visited by his older brother, Ramchandra Kaviraj, who told him, all these medicines aren't working. All your worship of Durga is not working. Why don't you just worship Krishna, Govinda? He'll deliver you from birth and death. You'll be healthy, prosperous, all good things will come to you. So Durgada, I gave the punchline away. Durgada said, well, my worship of Durga hasn't worked. I might as well try this. So he began worship of Krishna, Govinda, and within only 3 or 4 days he became pure. So he decided to take initiation from his older brother, and he became Govinda Das Kaviraj. He became a great scholar and poet, songwriter. On one of his most famous songs is Bhaja Hare Mana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. And after he completed that song, he sent it to Srila Jiva Goswami, who wrote him back that this is very excellent, wonderful, according to Tattva. So go on writing such songs, and please send me them. So he would write so many songs in the glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the glorification of Radha and Krishna, and send them to Srila Jiva Goswami. So he became very famous in our line, and his song is so famous in our line. Can we sing that for a few minutes?
Bhaja Hare Mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Javindare Bhaja Hare Mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Javindare Durlabha Madhava Janama Satsange
Durlabha Madhava Janama Satsange
Sindhure
Sarahure Bhagavad
Govinda Das Kaviraj Ki Jai. Shri Ramchandra Kaviraj Ki Jai. Just to offset about the householders, in case anybody's still trembling, I'll just read very nice bit from Srila Gurudev from his harmony book. Once I was in Assam with my Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj. At that time, there were about 40 brahmacharis and 10 sannyasis in our group. One day, one of the brahmacharis gave class and said that all householders are rotten. He told his audience, householders have nothing to do with bhakti. We, brahmacharis and sannyasis, are strong. We can preach and do bhakti. But those rotten householders cannot. None of the sannyasis were in the class when the brahmacharis spoke in that way, but we heard about it afterwards and informed Srila Gurudev. He at once became furious and told that brahmachari, "You are rotten. You have no connection with bhakti. You don't know any siddhanta. Most of our acharyas were married, and so is Krishna himself, because he married in Dwarka. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srinivasacharya, and all the gopis were married. Are they rotten? The Pandavas were householders. Are they rotten? Oh, you are especially rotten. You are not even a Vaishnava. In fact, I don't think you've taken initiation at all." After this incident, everyone became very careful, understanding that advancement of bhakti depends only on bhakti itself. So now we're going to be touching a atom of the glory of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, whose appearance day it is today. Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami is one of the six Goswamis, and he wrote many, many important books on Vaishnava Siddhanta. He was previously a Sri Vaishnava, worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan, not by Swarup. His whole family were Sri Vaishnavas, not by Swarup, in other words, not by their soul, but by tradition, family tradition. And who's his family? Prabodhananda Saraswati, who in Goloka Vrindavan is Tungavidya Devi, who is one of the eight principal sakis of Srimati Radhika. And Venkatabhat is his father, Prabodhananda. Saraswati is his uncle. And during the rainy season one year, and they lived in Sri Rangam, which is where there's very, very opulent worship of Sri Lakshmi Narayan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to spend the 4 months of the rainy season in that area. So Venkatabhat begged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to stay at his house. And although he had so many offerings of invitations to have luncheon in different people's houses, he lived in the house of Venkatabhat and Prabodhananda Saraswati and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who at that time was not Goswami, he was only 10 years old. That's when he got his first association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to Vrindavan to be with Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in their house, he began joking. They developed such a good, close relationship that Mahaprabhu was sometimes joking with his father, and he was present to hear all these joking conversations. He said, "You worship Lakshmi Narayan, but I worship, and Lakshmi Narayan is worshipped in great opulence, but I worship Krishna, the coward boy, the beloved of the gopis. And that's superior." So Venkatabhat said to him, "You know, Lakshmi Narayan, Narayan and Krishna are one. They're the same tattva. And you say that you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, say that Lakshmi left Lord Narayan to join Krishna in the Rasa Leela. But I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't know why you're joking about it. Because since Narayan and Krishna are one, she can still be a chaste wife to Lord Narayan and at the same time desire association with Krishna, who's Narayan's feature as a coward boy. Very relishable feature because of its sportive nature. So that doesn't mean that Krishna's superior. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, or that she was doing anything wrong. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, okay, she wasn't doing anything wrong, but then answer me this. Why couldn't she join the Rasa dance? She performed austerities for hundreds of years or thousands of years, all kinds of austerities. But yet, even though the Shruti mantras and the Upanishads, some of the Vedic mantras personified, they were able to become gopis. They were able to enter the Rasa dance. But why couldn't Lakshmi enter the Rasa dance? The reason is because she was attached to her form as Lakshmi, thinking that Krishna and Narayan are one, so I can just keep my chastity to Narayan and still enter the Rasa dance. And Srila Gurudev tells the history, as you know from Brajmandal Parikrama. In some yugas it's Krishna who came to Lakshmi, and in some yuga it was Yogamaya who came to Lakshmi and said, so, seeing her austerities, let's say in this particular yuga it's Krishna, Krishna asked her, are you willing to leave your husband Narayan and marry a gop and then leave that gopa to join the Rasa dance? She said, of course not. I'm a Brahmani. I'm a chaste and faithful wife. How can I possibly do that? And then he said, well, are you willing to make cow dung patties? Impossible. I'm a Brahmani. Then all your austerities are a waste of time. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where this discussion is going on with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Binkatabhat, and his family, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the gopis during the Rasa dance were embraced by the long arms of the Lord, a favor which even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, could not achieve. What to speak of the demigoddesses and what to speak of ordinary women of this earth? I was actually quoting this verse as spoken by Uddha. So, because she couldn't refuse to enter the mood of the gopis and follow the footsteps of the gopis, therefore, she couldn't enter the Rasa dance. So this proves, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, this proves that Krishna is superior. It may be that Lakshmi will not be able to enter the Rasa dance, but you'll never find, although she wants to, but you'll never find that a gopi is interested in Lord Narayan. Even when Krishna himself, Mahaprabhu is explaining, even when Krishna himself took the form of Lord Narayan, when he disappeared from the gopis during the Rasa dance, he added two more arms to himself and hid his flute. And when the gopis passed by him, they, oh, namaskar, namaskar. But did you see where Krishna went? They weren't really at all interested in staying with Lord Narayan. But we see that Lakshmi is interested in going to Krishna. So that shows, but she couldn't achieve that desired result. Therefore, we understand that Krishna is superior. So then he felt a little bad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little bad. He didn't want to hurt Venkata Bhatt and his family. So he said, but actually it's okay, I was just joking with you, because Krishna and Narayan are one in tattva. So then Venkata Bhatt said, no, you've opened my eyes. Now we're changing. My whole family is changing, and we're no longer going to be worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, but now we will worship and chant the holy name of Krishna. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami later on became Goswami, and he also changed to worship of Lord Krishna. Later on, when he became Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he had 11 or 12 Shilas, and one of them was a Damodar Shila. And one day he desired that, I wish that I had a deity of Krishna so that I could serve him. I wish all of a sudden my Shalagram Shila would get arms and legs and a head so that I could serve him and dress him and swing him on a swing. So then that very night, his Shalagram Shila turned into a deity. And if you see the back of the deity, the back still looks like a Shalagram Shila. The face looks like Govinda, the deity of Govinda, of Rupa Goswami's Govinda deity. His chest looks like the chest of Gopinath, Radha Gopinath. And his lotus feet look like the lotus feet of Madan Mohan, who is the deity of Sri Sanatana Goswami. So Gurudev writes in his Braj Mandala Parikrama book that anybody who worships this deity of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is named Radha Raman, he's worshipping all the deities. Everything's included within him. So there's no Radharani, he just manifested as Krishna alone. So they worship, there's a particular kind of chakra, I forget the name of the chakra, that is dressed as Radharani, that you'll see residing next to Radharaman in the temples. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, we were just mentioning Srinivasacharya, who is the spiritual master of Ramchandra Kaviraj. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was actually chosen by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the spiritual master, the Diksha Guru of Srinivasacharya. And what a great personality. We can understand the greatness of the Guru by the greatness of that person who the Lord told to take his shelter and take his initiation. Srinivasacharya was born of a very great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered to get a child. He was already completely renounced. Mahaprabhu ordered him to get a child and told him this child would be a very great devotee. So right from his baby age, Srinivasacharya would hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his father. I think his name was Chaitanya Das. And when he became a youth, he wanted to go and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was very eagerly running from his own city to Puri. And with great intense greed to meet Mahaprabhu. And then as he was going in the direction of Puri, he saw some devotees coming from Puri in the other direction. And they were looking very sad. And he said, what happened? And he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just disappeared from the world. So Srinivasacharya became maddened, crazed, and he started pulling out his hair, trying to rip open his chest, thinking of committing suicide. But he went to Puri and met so many personal associates of the Lord, like Gadadhar Pandit, and he wanted to take Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu's shelter. Gadadhar Pandit sent him to Ekachakra to meet with Nityananda Prabhu. Just when he got there, he found out that Nityananda Prabhu just disappeared. Again, he's ripping up his chest, pulling out his hair, beating his head, beating his chest. Then he went back to Gadadhar Pandit. And when he arrived there, he found out that he just left this world. So this was happening one after another. And then he was ready to jump in the fire and actually kill himself. And then Mahaprabhu appeared to him just before that and told him to go to Vrindavan to take the shelter of Rupa and Sanatan. As soon as he arrived in Mathura to go to Vrindavan, he found out from somebody who was just coming from Vrindavan that they just disappeared. So again he was ready to commit suicide when Rupa and Sanatan appeared in his dream and told him to take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, that he's not different from us, so you'll find him in Vrindavan. And at the same time, Rupa and Sanatan appeared to Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami and told Jiva Goswami to find, he said, on this night, they said to him, on this night, you'll find this very beautiful youth coming into the Radha Damodara temple, sitting in a corner and weeping uncontrollably. So Jiva Goswami went there that night and found him and then brought him under their direction to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was sitting in his ashram, also lifeless, weeping in separation of Mahaprabhu, who had recently left. So they were all weeping and they were all embracing each other. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who had received the order to initiate him, did initiate him, and he trained him in the worship of Radharaman, and then gave him for further studies to Jiva Goswami, as did the spiritual masters of Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Prabhu. Their spiritual masters all gave them for study to Jiva Goswami. So we see in these very exalted devotees that the Lord appears to them and gives them instructions, gives them consolation. And that's also one of the goals that we want to attain by our worship, by our chanting, by our Guru Seva, is that Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami will speak with us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will speak with us, and actually will enter into their pastimes. You know the painting of Gaura Nathai with all the thousands and millions of kirtaniyas. So I asked Gurudev, I was really trying to sneakily ask him if he's there in the painting. So I said, are all of our disciplic acharyas who are manjaris in Goloka Vrindavan, are they there in the painting in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan party? So then Gurudev said, why would they be there, the manjaris? I said, well, I don't mean in the manjari form, I mean in the acharyas form. He said, yes, they're all there. Nityananda, Vakreshwara Pandit, Swarup Damodar. Then he said, I am there also. And then in order to pretend that when he said, I am there, that it was a joke, he said, and you are there, and Giriraj Swami is there, and Aditya was there. We were all sitting in a room with him. So he did admit that he's there also. So we want to be under the guidance of Srila Rupa Goswami and all the Goswamis there, because according to Jiva Dharma, and Gurudev tells us so many times, those souls who are coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and particularly Srila Rupa Goswami, like Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they all have two swaroops, two spiritual forms, one in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela and one in Radha Krishna Leela. So similarly, Gopal Bhatta Goswami is, if I'm not incorrect, is Rasa Manjari, Guna Manjari, in Radha Krishna Leela. And there, Guna Manjari is engaging in services in the eightfold pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. In the morning, awakening Radha and Krishna in the kunjas, sometimes by singing, playing musical instruments, whereas some of the musical instruments are their bracelets and waist belts, also murdungas, waking the divine couple, sometimes by feeding Radha and Krishna with kind of like a smoothie. It's like a smoothie because it's very, you know, easy to go in. If they would feed them with something harder, it would upset the waking process, but this helps them to wake up. It's called, I forget the name of it, something Bhitika. Forget the name just now. Or sometimes the manjaris would find Radha and Krishna unable to get up, even though they wanted to get up in the kunja, because all of their ornaments were entangled together, like her nose ring with his earring, with her headpiece, with his other jewelry. So they would very, very carefully, thinking that every hair in her head is more valuable than millions of their lives, the Manjaris, like Guna Manjari, would very, very carefully separate the whole thing, like by very cleverly taking it off, say taking her nose ring off her nose, and then it's much easier to untwine. And then assisting Radharani in the kitchen, later on cooking for Krishna, bathing, decorating, making, the manjaris would sit together, like Guna Manjari, Rati Manjari, Rupa Manjari, Vilas Manjari, sit together cleaning the old ornaments, making new ornaments, flower belts, flower bracelets. They make their own unguents, like sandalwood. They make their own brushes, paint brushes, for painting on the brushes. Painting on the unguents. Then going to cook with Radharani and saying to her, it's amazing how when you were before feeling so much separation from Krishna, even though we lied you down on a bed of very cooling lotus flowers, lotus petals, and put on your body very cooling camphor and sandalwood paste, instantly all of that turned into hot dust from the heat of your separation. Whereas now, you're so happy, but you're in the midst of hundreds of fires, hundreds of stoves, and yet you're not perspiring at all, because you're so happy to be cooking for Krishna. And they would help by cutting vegetables, giving Radharani the wood to light the fire. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, coming from there, they're all coming from there, and that's why their contributions are so unique, their books are so powerful. They're just thinking about their life history liberates us from birth, old age, disease, and death, all karma, all problems. And therefore, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami prays to his mind. If you want to become a resident of Braj and engage in Ragatmika Bhakti as an associate of the Lord, then you must every day remember and bow down with great love to Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Swarup Damodar, Sri Sanatana Goswami, his elder brother, and all of their associates like Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and all the associates of Mahaprabhu who are recipients of his mercy. So we're very fortunate that we're able to hear about two associates today. And Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture once on one of the acharyas, and he said the reason that we glorify them and remember them on their appearance or disappearance day is so that they may bless us in Krishna consciousness. So we pray for those blessings. And I'll end here and ask if there's any question on any of those three subjects. Yes?
If Srinivasa Acharya was Gopalabhata Goswami's disciple, and he and Gopalabhata Goswami was so learned, why did he go to study under Goswami?
That's a very good question. I don't know why everybody sent their disciples to Jiva Goswami. I can't answer that, unfortunately. I'll try to find out, though.
Maybe we can ask Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, perfect, tomorrow. He reconciles everything. I had the biggest problem, the biggest dilemma, a few months ago, because Gurudev told me to make an art book of all the paintings that I did for Prabhupada and all the paintings that I did for him, and all the bas reliefs that our art team did, and the line drawings, everything. So I didn't know whether to change some of the paintings that I did for Prabhupada to match Gurudev's instructions. That is to take out all the peacock feathers of the Sringadev and Vishnu, Ramchandra, Dwarkadish, because Prabhupada never said they shouldn't have it. And Prabhupada also said to paint Mother Yasoda golden, whereas Gurudev was insisting that I paint her blue. So I did change a few of Prabhupada's paintings when I used it in Gurudev's books, but for the art book I was in a complete dilemma. So I asked Srila Bharti Maharaj, really the better name is Srila Bhakti Began Bharti Goswami Maharaj, to be honorific. I asked him, how come I got different instructions from these two perfectly pure devotees who were saying the pastimes in person? So he gave the most amazing answer that I never expected, which was that just like Lord Jagannath doesn't have a peacock feather and he doesn't play a flute, he's Krishna and Dwarka. And he has these little arms and the big eyes. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, he saw him as Brajendra Nandan Shyamasundar by his mood. And he fainted. He said, "Oh Krishna, I wanted to see you for so long. Jaga, gaga, jaga, gaga. And now I'm seeing you." And then he fainted. So similarly, according to a particular mood that a pure devotee might have, he can see in one way, another time he can see in another way, or another pure devotee can see by a certain mood in another way, and they're all correct. Just like Prabhupada's mind was that everybody's Krishna anyway, and even the gopis thought like that. Oh Krishna, we've heard that you're not only cruel in this birth, but we've heard from Yogamaya that you've been cruel in your past births too. Like you came as another sham-colored person who, by being henpecked by his wife, he disfigured another woman who simply came to him for simple amorous desires by cutting off her nose and ears. So he was very cruel, and not only that, but he killed a monkey. Nobody kills a monkey, even for meat, but he killed a monkey. And he didn't even kill him by an upfront fight. He had to hide behind a bush and do it. So he was also cruel. And then we heard about another one, Vaman, who, even though he was granted the universe by Bali Maharaj, he bound him up with a snake rope. So Krishna's been cruel for many, many births. So they couldn't conceive that there's anybody but Krishna. So similarly, Prabhupada, Srila Bharati Maharaj is saying, he's saying everyone is Krishna, like Keshava Drita, Nara Hari Rupa, Keshava Drita, Buddha Savira. So it's just the moods. I said, okay, well then, can you tell me why Prabhupada said to make Madhya Soda golden, whereas in the scriptures it says she's blue? So he said, sometimes she becomes golden. So I said, when did she become golden? So he said, sometimes if Radharani is late to come for cooking, then she becomes in so much anxiety that Radharani hasn't come. And she's feeling so much separation from Radharani, and she becomes so absorbed in her that she becomes golden. So he reconciled these two rasic acharyas so beautifully. So I'm sure he'll have a good answer. What was your question again?
If Gopalbhat's in...
Oh yeah, how come he gave him to Jiva Goswami? Yes. That's a good one. Any other questions that I can't answer? Yes, Prabhu.
Shamarani Didi, on the subject matter of Srila Radharamanji, I was just wondering if you had any answers to how is it that most of the Goswamis, it appears, they've manifested deities of Krishna, but not of Radharani. The deities of Radharani, in some cases, have been added later, or not at all.
Like who?
Radharani.
I mean, like who else? You said many of them.
Govindaji.
And Radharani came later.
And then also, yeah, Radharani was brought later on. And
Gopinath. Yeah, that's another one I can't answer. But we can ask... Okay, Srila Gurudeva ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Ramchandra Kavaraj ki jai, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami ki jai, Sri Harinam Mahamantra ki jai, Gopri Mandi, Sad Goswami Astakam. Together, yeah. Asante, book.
Krishna Kirtana Gana Nandana Paro Premamrita Goni you
Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami Prabhu Ki
Jai.
Sri Govinda Das Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu
Ki Jai.
Sri Narottam Das Thakur
Ki Jai.
Sri Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami Prabhu Ki
Jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki
Jai.
Om Vrindai Tulasi Devi Priyai Keshava Shacha Krishna Bhakti Pride Devi Satya Vajai Namo Namah. I forgot to mention that regarding Srila Bhakti Vigyan Bharati Goswami Maharaj. He also will probably be giving darshans in the daytime around 11, and Vasanti will know more details for anybody who's interested.